Okay, JP, how are you going?
How are we? Great. How are you?
If I was any better, I'd be sitting here with you, wouldn't I?
How was Australia?
The most amazing experience. 11 years now I've been doing that tour, and it's
great.
Amazing. Yeah.
How long is the tour usually?
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Yeah.
And what do you go around doing in Australia?
Talking to teenagers about how to be healthy, fit, and strong, and happy. Most importantly, happy. No. 5-star event, convention centres and event centres.
Awesome.
Mm.
How many people usually attend?
Somewhere between 200 and 1,000.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's great.
Yeah.
Just only you speak yourself?
No, there's 3 other speakers.
Great. Mm-hmm. And what do they speak about? Fitness as well?
No. About overcoming challenges. Mm. And having successful lives. And wealth creation, JP, yes. So how can you become wealthy by doing something you're really passionate about rather than getting a lousy, stinking, rotten job?
That's awesome.
Yeah, it is.
As a kid that's got like special needs or anything
No. The company that I invest time with is called YLEAD. It's called Youth Leadership.
Okay.
And they do external programs from schools and they go into schools. But this particular, it's called Altitude Day,
mm-hmm.
and it's only year 9s, so 14-year-olds,
okay.
literally only, there's very few outside that. There's some 13-year-olds and some 15s, but they're predominantly 14.
Yeah.
And the leaders from the schools, they literally get on the phone and call all the schools in the city, because we go to 11 cities,
okay.
and they call all the schools in the city and say, send us your leaders from year 9.
Right.
So if in a room there's 200 students, they'll be from anywhere between 5 to 30 different schools.
Okay. And what do you usually provide them? So apart from speaking to them, what would you do? Give them a program?
No, they get leadership skills. That's what the day's about.
Right.
So they go back to their school and mm-hmm. share with their school what they learned that day.
Great.
Yeah, it is. It's awesome.
That sounds exciting.
Yeah.
That's good. And so share with me, how's your health doing at the moment?
Zero and a million and 70.
And you look healthy, fit, and strong.
Yes.
Do you have any current goals at the moment?
My number one goal every single day is to look and feel the same way as I do now when I'm 60, 80, 100, 120.
All right.
Because I feel that I'm getting fitter and stronger every day, every year.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously the goal is to stay that way.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So that's like your short-term goal, feel healthy, fit and strong every day. It's pretty much the next day. You just want to feel the same as the day before and better.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it's not about it's not necessarily about getting fitter or stronger. It's about now that I'm over 50... and I'm still lifting as heavy and still running as fast as when I was 40. So I'm not getting any fitter or stronger, but I'm getting older.
Yeah.
So the idea is to stay as fit and strong, even though I'm getting more chronologically
right.
older.
And you want to stay like that till the end of days.
Yeah.
Yeah. that's a great achievement.
So I give an example, because I like to run. Everywhere I go in the world, there's a run in my headspace
mm-hmm.
that I like to do.
Okay.
And it's somewhere between 1 hour and 2 hours. So the goal is that when I'm 100 and I'm visiting that particular city, that I'm still doing that same run in that same time.
Is there any particular city you have in mind at the moment that you want to run in?
Well, I'm just about to go to Los Angeles.
Okay.
And in Beverly Hills, it's called Hills for a reason.
Yeah.
There are some very, very steep hills. And I have a running track that I do in Beverly Hills that's up and down. It's some seriously steep hills where you're getting to a max heart rate when you're climbing the hill. So, yeah, the goal is to be able to keep doing that.
Keep doing that?
Yeah.
And when are you going to Los Angeles?
Tomorrow!
How's that? That's awesome!
Tomorrow! So I'll let you know.
Yeah, let me know how it goes.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Any other goals you want to do after that?
Long term? No, the long term is that my father died of Alzheimer's and dementia,
mm-hmm.
which I don't believe anybody needs to die from that as a disease. So obviously that particular thing is in my family, so I have no interest in that happening to me. So the idea is to stay healthy, fit and strong mentally and physically.
Long term?
Yeah.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it your number one health and fitness goal to be healthy, fit and strong every day?
As I said, my dad died of Alzheimer's, so that was obviously a really interesting wake up. Now, he died at 86, and you can say, oh, he had a good innings, but I think that he could have lived to 120, 30, 40 even.
Really?
Knowing what I know now.
Yeah.
So it's a real strong driver.
Okay.
And then there's the other two reasons. we went, Cayman and I went skiing one Christmas in Canada, and on Christmas Day, we were skiing. Like it's we're in Canada, so the ski slopes are really steep, and we were skiing with this couple that are over 80, and at the end of the day, it's the lift's closing down, and this old couple say to each other, "Let's go again." And they'd been skiing all day, and they were over 80. So that I remember very specifically that day setting the goal that you don't need to get old. These people are still doing dangerous double diamond black ski runs over 80 and having the energy at the end of the day to want to go again.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And then the Indian guy that ran marathon at 100.
Wow. A full marathon.
A full 42.2 kilometres. And he didn't come last. He beat five people in that race. So five people had to go home and say, I ran marathon today, but I got beaten by 100 Canada also.
Awesome.
Yeah, but he's an Indian guy. So just those examples of people that are not getting old are the reason why I know that you don't have to get old. So that's the driving force for me every day to know that. I went to see Cher in Las Vegas. She's 72 and she still sells out shows. 72. She sells out shows in Vegas and she's still wearing the same outfits that she was wearing when she was 30.
How's she looking?
Amazing. Really? And her comment at the end of her, at the start of her show, which is resonates in my head every day, she says, "So this is me and I'm 72. And then she sings her ass off and dances her ass off for an hour and a half. And then she says, "And what's your grandma doing tonight?" You with me? Yes, so people say, "But Roey, that's the extreme." No, if you stay healthy, fit and strong, you will stay healthy, fit and strong for the rest of your life.
And you fully believe
that's
that.
The driving why, always the why.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Great. So the goal is to be healthy, fit and strong every day, maintain that through to the end of the day. The why is because of your dad's Alzheimer's, and also because you saw the couple skiing in
in Canada, I just watch people who have decided not to get old.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the driving force.
That's the driving force. Yeah. That's awesome. And then obviously seeing Cher performing at
Sterling. 72.
And tomorrow you're going to Los Angeles to run Beverly, running Beverly Hills, which is really awesome. So how are you going to feel? If you can give me three emotions when you're running Beverly Hills, how are you going to feel when you do that?
There's an interesting, and I just, it's for me, it's just, of course, when you've got and you would know this, when you've got a strong goal in your mind of what you want to achieve, what you're going to achieve, it becomes a daily visualization that you do it.
Mm-hmm.
So when you actually do it, you just say to yourself, "Of course." Now, I don't necessarily know that I can when I say this, because I have an interesting body that's got lots of different medical challenges.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't actually know that I can go and do it. But when I do it, I always say, "Of course I did it."
Yeah.
So how do I feel? It's like, "Of course, Roey, you did it because you're fit and strong and you train hard and you're really strong and so of course you did."
so you already feel like you've already done it in your head before you even get there?
Of course.
And you already feel that emotion?
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is something that I spoke that. That's what I said you're into. It's absolutely amazing.
I'll give you another example. When I fly into Brisbane, on a clear day when you fly into Brisbane, that you fly over the Brisbane River, and there's a run that I do on the Brisbane River that takes me an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And when I fly in, I can actually see the whole run from the plane.
That's great.
And I'm thinking to myself, "That's a long way that you run, Roey." And then after I finish my run in the morning, I just go, "Of course you can run that." You with me? So it's how do I feel when I do it? I know, technically I know that I can do it because I would never stop.
Yeah. Awesome. That's great. And so if you now get to Beverly Hills tomorrow and for some reason, which I highly doubt wouldn't happen, you don't run, how would you feel?
It's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
Yeah, and that's where I don't fit into this category very well. I'm the kind of person that I don't ever start something unless I know I'm going to finish it.
Okay.
It doesn't matter how challenging it is, I will finish it.
Yeah.
If I have to crawl, I will still finish it.
So you're very determined. You're willing to pass out. Yeah. Or
well, you've heard it. That expression. Yeah. You and I hear that every day. People say, I'll do whatever it takes.
Mm.
Well, some people actually live and breathe that. I'll do whatever it takes. Yeah. And other people just talk it. And as soon as they get a bit puffy or a bit sore, they stop.
Yeah.
I'm actually one of those people that I will do it on whatever it takes.
But you've run now over 40 marathons.
I just know, JP, just 21.
21, sorry. Okay, that was wrong. 21 marathons. That's still a lot.
Yeah, but I didn't know when I did the first one that I could do it. I just knew that if I started that thing, I wasn't going to stop.
Yeah.
Yeah?
And so has that taught you a lot, running 21 marathons? Teach you a lot of discipline?
And I'll share with you the headspace for that, and you will understand this. I do. People say, why so many marathons? Why don't you do something different? I just have an absolute passionate belief that once a year, at least once a year, you should really push yourself to the limit.
Okay.
For mental toughness, not for physical toughness. Mm. I know that I'm fit and strong, but once a year you should really push your mental toughness.
Yeah.
And I don't train for marathon. I don't do long distance running. I'm not interested in, you know, doing 30, 40 kilometres of runs 3-4 times a week.
Yeah.
But once a year, and that's a beautiful thing I can say about those 21 marathons, I've never once finished with anything left in the tank. Like, I've always run to the absolute limit, so I couldn't have run any harder because I've had to push through the mental toughness.
Right.
And anybody that's run a marathon at any kind of push themselves will tell you that there's some time in that run you want to stop.
Yeah.
But that's the mental toughness that you push through, and that's why I do it every year. Why not? We don't have enough challenges in our lives. If we live back in the years of the plague or the Black Death or, you know, terrible things happening in the world, life gave you challenges that you had to overcome.
Yeah, of course.
But if you haven't got enough challenges in your life, you have to put yourself under challenge on a regular basis.
That's awesome. So you like putting yourself in an uncomfortable environment and stretch your mental limits. And so what happens to your headspace after you completed a marathon?
I just go say that, and of course I finished this marathon. Yeah. Even though with 30 times through the marathon you thought about stopping, and I've run marathons with sore knees, sore hips, sore back, sick, tired, jet lagged, the whole bit. I've done it, and I'm not stopping till I finish.
That's great. But at the end of it, after you've accomplished it, do you feel like, okay, this is great. Every year I run, you know, I do awesome and I run marathons. Do you ever feel like, oh, maybe I can do... You know, I just feel like you can accomplish more in a way. Like,
that's the reason why I do it.
Keep stretching.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's great.
Because the same again, I don't get any faster. My marathons are not getting any faster, but I'm getting older.
Yeah.
And that's what's really
cool. that's awesome, man. I find that really interesting. I'm kind of a little bit off there, but that's great. and right now, you'd say you're on track to achieving that goal, running Beverly Hills?
Shit, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
From the sounds of it, doing well.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And so, if you're high, you know, you're your own personal fitness professional,
mm-hmm.
what advice would you give yourself today?
I give myself the same advice every day. Just get up and do it. It's mm-hmm. not a. In fact, I'll rephrase that. That was a bit of a exaggeration. I have exercised every day of my life since I was 10 years of age. Wow. Started exercising effectively at 13, and I haven't missed a day. And you know, most people don't get that.
Yeah.
But my answer to that is, well, did you brush your teeth every day? Yeah. Do I shower every day? Yeah. Do I eat food every day? Yeah. So it's not unusual to do a particular thing every day. For me, exercise is about, I pump happy drugs through my brain.
Mm-hmm.
People say, Rowie, how can you be happy all the time? Because I exercise every day. Yeah. So I've got endorphins and dopamine and great serotonin levels. So I'm awesome every day. That's why, because I exercise. So it's not, you don't think to yourself, will I brush my teeth today? You just do it.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, that's it. I don't have to tell myself to exercise. It's just part of what I do on a day-to-day basis.
Who you are.
So do I have to give myself advice? That part of my life isn't, that's...
Yeah, so you'd say it's in your subconscious, it's who you are, it's non-negotiable, that's it.
And probably, obviously the only person that knows that is my husband because he lives with me.
Yeah.
And there's no, he's the same, there's no thought, will I train today? No, I just do.
So if you say you exercise every day, what do? You just get puffed a little bit, or you go for long runs every day?
It obviously depends, mm-hmm. but there's never a day where I just stick to my own system, which is get puffed 3, 4, 5 times a day to the absolute max heart rate.
Okay.
So that's awesome. I just don't miss that. Now, I never used to exercise like that because I used to think I had to go long, slow distance and run for hours and hours. But finally, the research has caught up that says, no, if you want to pump happy drugs through your brain, just get puffed. And if you want to get fit, you've got to get puffed. And if you want to be lean, you've got to get puffed.
Yeah.
And it doesn't take very long to get puffed. So sometimes when I run for an hour, it's sprint, slow, sprint, slow. It's not plod jog.
Yeah.
So sometimes when you see me running, you think I look like a little old lady plodding along. And then other times you think I'm Usain Bolt. Well, I feel like I am.
How long does it take you to get puffed now?
Well, it's the same. For you, it's the same as everybody. If you put an effort in, if you and I stood up now and sprinted on the spot, it takes about 10 seconds. If you put a big effort in, you'll get puffed.
Yeah, yeah, right.
So, and that I use that as a happy drug injection too. If you get an interesting email or a confrontational telephone call or something happens in your life that's stressful, Rowie, how come you don't get stressed? No, I do. I stress my body physically all the time. So if somebody's trying to stress me mentally, then I'll go punch the bag. You go punch the bag for 10 seconds flat out, how do you feel?
Exhausted.
As you would now know. Yeah, so there's no, do I love going out for really long walks or really long runs? Yeah, but if somewhere in that long run will be at least 4 or 5 really hard sprints, whether it's soft sand, uphill, flat out as hard as I can, there'll always be 3, 4, 5 times during the day, there's a max heart rate.
That's really
yeah.
That's great. And then that all comes back down to the whys. It comes back to your dad and also watching
JP, they're all of, because I study this, like you study wealth creation, I study happiness and health. All the neuroscience is now showing that if you overload physically, so you lift heavy things and you pump oxygen through your brain,
mm-hmm.
but not just walking oxygen, sprinting oxygen through your brain, you won't get Alzheimer's.
That's
you just
good news.
Won't get it.
That's good news.
It's literally a disease that doesn't have to, like a type 2 diabetes and coronary heart disease, there's plenty of it in the world, but we don't have to have it.
Mm.
Alzheimer's and dementia is the same. If you, and the two things that promote neurogenesis, rebuilding of brain cells, is learning and exercise, hard exercise. Now I learn every day, I'm committed to it, and I committed to hard exercise every day. So,
so you're on the right track.
Absolutely.
Definitely on the right track.
Yeah.
So our goal is maintaining healthy, fit and strong body every single day. Going to Beverly Hills tomorrow. Kind of run the hills.
And then Las Vegas.
And then
I run the strip in Las Vegas.
Yeah,
and then up and down all the stairs in Vegas.
That's awesome. And so you shared with me when, you shared with me why, you shared with me what, you shared with me how you feel, how you don't, all of that. It's the, I want to train you in the future for my own practice.
Great.
So what would you like from me? 3 things you can that I can do for you.
And there is 3 very specific things for me for a trainer. Number one is that I will always strength train. Doesn't matter whether you're there or not. I will never miss a strength training session. But I'm also very aware that the best session doesn't come from me. Bentley! Hello, darling.
Hello. You're enjoying the conversation.
He says, my mommy trains really
hard. Ask me some questions.
Bentley, I will... Like, I train regardless, but the best training session doesn't come from you and I training by ourselves. It's when you've got somebody there who can tap into your headspace, but also can make sure that you do that 1 or 2 reps more. So for me, the reason to have a fitness professional is to... I will always have in my headspace how many I think I can do, and I will never do less than that, ever. But if you can get me to do 1 or 2 more than I thought I could do, to me that's like... That's worth so much time value because they're the ones that make you stronger.
That's right.
So if I think I can do 11 and you get me to do 13, that's like mind blowing. That's just awesome.
Okay.
So it's the extra reps. I hate stretching, like I hate it. So when you have a trainer, you get stretched properly.
Yeah.
So that's a really good reason to have a trainer because you actually get a proper stretching session, which is great. And I also have an integrity thing. I train fitness professionals, so I want to have a fitness professional in my life, because otherwise why would I be training people to be fitness professionals?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't need one. I definitely don't need one to motivate me, inspire me, or get me to train.
Of course.
But I think that those, like when you're doing a single arm dumbbell press, for example,
mm-hmm.
you can't do your personal best on your own. You yeah. never will.
Yeah.
Because you're going to, if you drop the thing, you're going to smash your face. So there's always that in your headspace. But if you've got a really good trainer spotting you, then you know that you can push that extra one or two repetitions, which is why, where you get your strength from, which is what I'm looking for.
Right. So, so you yeah. want me to stretch you to your max capability.
Yeah, yeah.
Even more. So
to me, that's worth a lot of money, a lot of, that's for me, that's awesome.
And what would you say would that be? Would I have to use... your wise, would that be a motivator for you to overcome that?
I always use this example, and I use this with my students all the time. I was doing a PT evaluation with one of the Max students, and he asked me during the session how I feel if I achieve my goals, how I feel if I don't. And I gave him the words.
Okay.
And he also asked me, what's your least favourite word? And I don't even know why he asked me that question. And I'll share with you very happily that my least favourite word is average. I hate the word average. Mm-hmm. Like, I hate it. And we were doing bike sprints, and I had to at the time because I couldn't run, and I hate doing bike sprints. And my legs were full of lactic acid, and I was really not having a very good time. And he said, next sprint. And I didn't want to do this next sprint. And he whispers in my ear, Rowie, what would an average person do right now? I've never sprinted that hard in my life. See, that's the motivational skill okay. of tapping into somebody's psychology to get them to work harder than they would on their own. Right. Now, if I was doing, I wouldn't do bike sprints on my own. If he wasn't there, I wouldn't be doing them. And if he hadn't said that, I would have put in less effort. But because he tapped into my psychology, mm-hmm. then, yeah, we did great.
Great. Awesome. Now the next question obviously is the one we I think I pretty much already ask it, but when I ask, you know, to give you twice the value, that if you're going to invest your money with me, how can I give you, you know, twice the value? What are some things that you wouldn't want me to do, for example, smell bad?
I won't train with somebody that smells bad.
Yeah.
Yuck.
Yeah.
And I've got some. If you ask me, Robbie, do you have a trainer right now? The answer is no. And there's a lot of reasons why I don't right now. Because
okay.
I can't find a trainer who can do, A, the three things that I'm asking for, which is to push me that one or two more reps than that I don't do on my own.
Okay.
So why would I spend money on somebody that can't train me harder than I would train on my own? That's mm-hmm. just a waste of money. There's a stretching system that's in place for a reason, so that I don't have to think about what I'm doing. But if somebody doesn't do that properly because they haven't bothered to learn it,
mm-hmm.
then I have to think now about the stretching system, and I don't yeah, want to do that because I hate stretching. Which again, then why would I have a trainer that hasn't bothered following a system that I obviously am really passionate and excited about? But I'm... You know, if you rock up here today and you've got a half-shaven face, I'm not training with you. I'm just not, because to me that's a lack of discipline. You don't know how to shave, really. Yeah. Now, that's not the same for everybody. I get that. But mm-hmm. for me, that's really important.
Yeah.
I would love to have a trainer. Love to have a trainer. I just haven't found one that's prepared to put the simple things into place.
That's really good.
Yeah.
I actually really enjoyed the course. I learned a lot about you, which is awesome. Let's talk a little bit about nutrition.
Let's do that.
Let's talk about nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
What do you like to eat, Riley? What do you eat?
Whatever I feel like, whenever I feel like it.
Mm-hmm.
How does that sound?
That sounds awesome. Yeah.
That's it.
And no specific foods in particular?
What's the question?
So what do you like? What do you like to eat?
I eat for two reasons: pleasure and performance. So if I'm not performing at the top level, that's got a lot to do with fuel. Now there's a lot of other things. There's a lot of things. But for me, I can't perform at my top level if I'm not eating properly, and I really can hear and feel that in my own body. Mm-hmm. So I eat for performance,
okay.
but I also strongly eat for pleasure. And I have a very strong geographic eating thing. So when I go to the football, I have a meat pie. Nice. If I go to the movies, I have popcorn. If I'm in Italy, I eat gelati. It's just a real geographic thing. Yeah. So what do I love to eat? I love to eat certain things in certain places. Right. Would I ever go to the supermarket and buy a meat pie? No. No, I wouldn't. But when I'm at the football, I have a meat pie.
Yeah.
So I eat for pleasure. And then for performance, it's all about, I understand that your body needs things to perform. Mm-hmm. So, and if you're not getting those things, then you won't perform properly. So I'm really aware of that.
Okay. Awesome. Mm-hmm. That's great. So you've already shared with me the why then.
Yep.
And where do you usually eat?
My favourite place to eat is at the end of the day on the couch with the puppy dogs and my husband. Nice. And I really don't enjoy any other time to eat food.
Okay. And so obviously when you travel a lot, would you say that's not really the ideal place?
No, the opposite. Then it goes into geography.
Okay.
So every place that I go to, there are places that I love to eat and certain things that I love to eat there. Yeah. So when I'm not at home, then I'm really excited to go there to eat that.
What are those, for example? Can you share with me a couple of places?
Well, Las Vegas, we always go to the Cheesecake Factory, and it's just I can smell it, feel it, touch it, taste it, sitting there. It's just, I can't wait. And it's a wow experience. And that's where performance, yes, you eat for performance and to look good and feel good, but that's all about the experience. And for me, food's a real experience.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really excites me.
How many times do you eat a day, and when do you eat? Morning, midday, night, or when do you
eat? Well, I eat predominantly in the evening because that's my favourite time to eat. Okay. So the rest of the food during the day is always for performance, but the pleasure part of food is always in the evening.
In the evening. Mm-hmm. Right. And when you do eat, how do you feel?
Awesome.
Awesome.
Sometimes I get a bit annoyed that I haven't got a bigger stomach because I'd like to eat more. Has ever happened to you? Sometimes because the food's so good and you think, oh God, because I can't eat. Two things, I never eat when I'm not hungry, and I never eat more if I'm full, I'm full.
Yeah.
You can put my favourite food in front of me, and when I'm full, I can't. I don't want to eat it. I'm not interested in eating it. So sometimes when I've got this amazing food in front of me, I want it, like the Cheesecake Factory.
Yeah.
My favourite food there is a deep fried chicken, piece of chicken with spaghetti on it.
Yeah.
But it comes in a really big size. Uh-huh. But the Cheesecake Factory is cheesecake, yeah? But if I've eaten a big meal and I'm not hungry, then I don't have any cheesecake.
Right.
So when I'm full, I don't want to eat. So how do I feel when I eat? Awesome.
Awesome. And so it doesn't matter. So if you're full, it doesn't matter what favourite food you put in front of you, cheesecake, your chicken with the spaghetti.
Chocolate, doesn't matter. I'm full. And I'm saying to myself, I wish I wasn't full because I'd like to eat this, but...
That's awesome.
Yeah, not interested because I'm full. But I think that's a lot of the challenge with eating in the world is if we ate like that, only eat when you're hungry and stop eating when you're full,
mm-hmm.
you would start understanding your body better. You know when you say, I feel like?
Yeah.
I feel like an apple, or I feel like if you're a vegetarian, you won't get this, but I will say, I feel like a steak.
Yeah.
That's because I need iron and protein.
Right. But,
and it's not because I'm technically advanced inside my body. It's just that if you listen to your body really carefully, it'll tell you what you need.
Yeah.
Now, you as a vegetarian, you might say, well, I really need to eat some nuts right now. Because your body will tell you what you need. It's like when you're thirsty. If you listen to you listen to your body, when you're thirsty, you drink. When you're hungry, you eat. And if you really listen carefully, your body will say, well, really, you need to have a salad right now.
Yeah.
Because you need something fresh, because that's what your body needs.
And so do you believe you now reached a certain stage in life where you listen to your body? And
that's exactly how I eat, JP.
Yeah.
I've been the same. I've got a pair of trousers that I bought when I was 18. I'm over 50 and those trousers have been in and out of fashion about 40 times since then. I can still wear them. So I've obviously regulated my weight and my size and my energy level. And that's a question I always ask people.
Yeah.
What weight do you want to be? What size do you want to be? What energy level do you want to be? Now, I don't know what my weight is, but those pants still fit me. So I've got that part of my life really sorted.
Yeah, that sounds really awesome. And so if you're not full... and you don't have time to eat, or you don't eat, how do you feel if you can't eat?
I have a very full life, so that's probably one of the things where it doesn't, if I'm not hungry because I'm not thinking about it, I don't eat because I'm not thinking about it.
Okay.
So I eat, if I feel hungry, I go and get something to eat.
Yeah.
But if I'm really busy, I don't think, oh, it's 3 o'clock, I have to eat.
Right.
I don't eat because I'm not thinking about it. I only eat when I'm consciously aware of I'm hungry or I need to eat some food. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
If I don't eat, the only answer would be is I feel hungry. But sometimes I can go for a very long time with not eating. And one of the things I do, for instance, a tour around Australia, I'm always on stage at 1 o'clock. That's my time slot for 11 years. That's what I've been doing. But I make sure that before I go to that event, because there could be anywhere between 200 to 1,000 teenagers, and after I've chatted, I give them every amount of time that I've got. So I make sure before I go to that event that I've got all the water I need. I've obviously exercised. I've done all the drunk all the water that I need for the day, and I've eaten all the food that I need for the day, so that I don't have to be thinking about food or water or energy or I'm sorted. Does that make sense?
Yeah, of course.
So that I can give everything that I've got to give without having to think, I've got to go eat food.
So there's never a time. So it's either you eat because you want to eat and because you listen to your body and you're hungry and you eat what you want to eat, and or it would be you're too busy and you're not thinking about eating. But there'd never be a time where you know you're hungry and you're not eating.
Because then I'd go and get something to eat.
Right. So that's cool. That's awesome.
Yeah.
And so we got this great goal of maintaining a healthy lifestyle every single day and running Beverly Hills and Las Vegas Strip. And would you say you're on track with your nutrition and the way
perfectly
you eat?
Perfectly. I really wish, JP, and you've known me long enough now, I wish that I could transplant my headspace into the rest of the world. Because I've dealt with so many people that have eating challenges and eating disorders, and their headspace is their food's controlling their life and they're really screwed up with their food.
Yeah.
I really wish I could transplant my headspace into other people.
Into all of these.
Yeah, because that's part of my life
that's something
really
very
sorted.
About.
Yeah.
And from listening from people you've dealt with in the past.
Well, I watch people eat healthy food, like they call it, and it's some green salad thing, and they're not enjoying it. Like, what are you eating that for? Well, because it's healthy.
Yeah.
There's no pleasure involved there. Why put calories into your body that you're not enjoying?
Mm-hmm.
And I will share with you absolutely passionately that I believe, it's only my opinion, that food is about more to do with your headspace, your mental health, than it is about your physical health. Because if you actually listen to your brain, it'll tell you what you need. But if you eat yummy food with a negative attitude, you don't enjoy it.
Yeah.
If you eat healthy food with a negative attitude, I actually don't think it does you too much value.
Yeah. And so you believe if you eat, for example, if you eat yummy food and you say to yourself, oh my God, I don't know why I'm eating this, it's making me fat. You think that psychologically
it's
going to
screw you up
as well? Yeah.
And how are you going to feel? And the ultimate thing about food and exercise is, how does it make you feel?
Yeah.
And if it's not making you feel passionate, excited about life, it isn't working. Does that make sense?
Yeah, of course.
I'm eating this healthy green kale salad. I don't like it. It tastes like shit, but I'm eating it because, well, come on.
I definitely understand it. So if you're your own high-performance nutritionist, any advice you'd give yourself today?
Just keep doing what you're doing.
Keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's obviously, it's working for me. But I'm also really aware. If I'm aware of, I've got that pair of trousers. If those trousers are too tight, then I need to eat less.
Yeah.
Like, that's not an emotional situation. That's, Roa, you're a bit chubby. You need to lose some weight. Versus, because I'm over 50, if I go too many days where I'm really busy and I don't eat regularly, I can lose weight pretty quickly too, because I exercise every day, remember?
Yeah.
So, but when you're over 50, I don't want to be skinny either, because I'm going to look really old in the face.
Yeah, true.
When I competed bodybuilding, I had a skinny ass, but I had a really, really skinny face. It was horrible.
Yeah.
I looked like I was sick. So that's no good either. So there's got to be a really good balance there, which is an awareness factor. You just got to be aware.
Is there anything you'd like me to do to help you with your eating?
No.
So I got a couple of questions then for you.
Yeah.
Do you maintain energy, enthusiasm and excitement throughout the entire day?
And if I don't, I sort it really fast. If I'm not feeling energetic, it's because I need to do some exercise or I need to go eat some food, so I sort it really fast.
You're performing at your top level as well?
every day getting better. and you know this about me. It doesn't matter how good you think you are at something, I always play dumb and play blonde.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even if I think I know something, teach me. Because you might know how to do it better than me, so I want to learn from you.
Yeah.
So that's a really great. Open headspace.
Mm-hmm. And if you look at yourself in the mirror, are you happy with what you see?
I'm loving it. And it's interesting because I had from probably when I started exercising at 10 till probably 30 maybe, there was a real focus on I have to look a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, and you'll get this if you haven't already, it's the flip side. If you exercise for health and performance and energy, the side effect is that you'll have a great looking body. It's not, I have to get big arms. No, if you lift heavy so you can get strong and stay strong and be fit and get puffed to get fit, then the side effect of that is you have a body that's a fast fat burning machine. It's like, I see pictures of myself when I was 20 and I think, oh, you're doing all right. You're over 50.
So I guess I don't have to ask the last question because you are obviously getting results from the way you eat. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
And of course, again, I'm always getting better. I'm always looking at different ways and better ways, and I'm always listening to the research. The funniest quote I heard this week, that 50% of the science about exercise and eating is right. We just don't know which 50%.
How confusing is that?
Well, if you find a study that says animal fat will give you coronary heart disease, you'll find another study that says it doesn't.
Yeah.
Like, they're two major opposing views on one of the biggest killers in the world.
100%
So agree. You have to work it out for yourself. You can't go to the science because the science is just too controversial.
Yeah.
You have to work it out for yourself.
For sure.
Yeah. So if you've got good resting heart rate, good cholesterol levels, good blood sugar levels, and you're fit, then it's whatever you're doing is working for you.
Yeah.
If you clogged, your arteries are clogged, then whatever you're doing is not working for you. It doesn't matter what you believe. We're doing my W questions came in with the JP.
Really?
Yes. And we're recording it.
It's recording now?
Yeah.
Hello.
He's doing awesome, by the way. All right, what are we up
to? That's really cool. Learning about goals and nutrition, which is fantastic. So let's talk about medical. So you've shared that there's quite a few medical challenges that you have. You kind of mentioned it before. So
JP, I did shit exercises for my body from when I was 10 till when I met Kanan. Like, super shit exercises, bicep curls and sit-ups and shit. So every single joint in my body is screwed up.
Oh.
That's a lot of time to be doing stupid shit to your body.
And so what injuries do you have you had in the past?
Every joint in my body.
Every joint in your body.
Is
like
screwed
actually
up.
Every joint.
Yeah. I used to do 1,000 sit-ups a day. So I have a perforated disc L4, L5, simply from doing too many sit-ups. I have golfer's elbow and tennis elbow, and I don't play golf or tennis. That's from doing
bicep. Can you share with me exactly what is that exactly?
I have inflammation of both all joints. All of my joints are inflamed in some way, shape or form from doing stupid isolated exercises. Shoulder presses, shrugs, bicep curls, tricep kickbacks, leg extensions, leg curls, all stupid shit exercises that screw up your joints. Now, they won't screw up your joints if you don't do them very often, but I'm a committed person to my exercise program, so I would do 3 sets of 10 really heavy isolated exercises, and I've screwed up every joint in my body. Mm-hmm. Can you see why I'm so passionate about
definitely.
Not doing stupid shit? When you're 20 and you're bulletproof and you do heavy bicep curls, you're not thinking I'm screwing up my elbow and when I'm 50 I'm going to have arthritis.
Yeah.
You're not thinking that.
Yeah.
But at our house we don't call it arthritis, we call it disciplinitis. Had the discipline to keep pushing through the pain, and now we have interesting challenges. So
any other injuries apart from the joints?
Any other ones?
That you had in the past, apart from all the joints?
I have the serious one is my back. I have when you have a look at my X-ray, it looks like I've had a fusion in L4-5 because there's no disc at all.
You got no intervertebral disc?
If you look at the X-ray, it looks like the two bones are fused together. The last chiropractor that looked at my X-ray said you shouldn't be walking.
Well, you're doing all right. You're walking, I'd say. Wow.
And that happened when I was 18, and I perforated my disc when I was teaching a class. And I'm very, very privileged because I ended up at a chiropractor rather than a physio.
Right.
On the recommendation of an orthopedic surgeon, he said, you don't need a physio, you need a chiropractor.
Okay.
And that chiropractor, it was so funny because the orthopedic surgeon said to me when he looked at my back, he said, you've been doing lots of sit-ups, haven't you?
Yeah.
Which was, by the time I was 18, I'd been doing sit-ups every day since I was 10. So that's 18 years or 8 years of sit-ups. So yeah. Yes, I was in really bad shape.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And well, you've obviously shared the reason why it's happened is because you've done all the silly exercises. Mm-hmm. But why did you do all the silly exercises?
Because I wanted to be fit and strong. In back in those days, it was all about being skinny. Right thing to do.
Yeah.
Yep.
Wow. And I mean, you can't obviously share with me where it happened because it obviously happened all over the place and throughout the years.
No, it's all my fault because I didn't learn for myself. Okay. I didn't ask questions. Why are we doing 3 sets of 10?
Yeah.
Why are we doing bicep curls? Why are we doing sit-ups? I never asked the question why. Mm-hmm. And this is what I teach all of my students. Why are we doing this and how does it work?
Yeah.
And if you ask the question, why are we doing sit-ups and how do they work? There's no answer.
Yeah.
There's no reason to do them and they don't work.
Yeah.
All they do is grind your spine.
Mm.
They don't burn fat. They don't make you stronger. They're the two reasons why people do sit-ups. Because I want to have lean abdominals or I want to have strong abdominals. Well, sit-ups don't do either of those.
Yeah. So kind of just that feeling they get, which is...
Nothing. It's not exploding fat cells. It's lactic acid burn. Yeah.
Exactly. when exactly did you find out that all your joints were damaged and that you...
As I've progressively gotten older, so... I would love to be able to do, for instance, jump up onto a box because it's you can get really puffed really quickly when you jump up onto a box. Okay. But can you imagine what that does to when every joint in your body is screwed up? For my back to do that, for my knees to do that, even for my neck to do that. So yeah. as you start getting older, now when do I say my body's deteriorating? From the age of 30, I stopped doing shit exercises because that's when I met K-Man.
Mm-hmm.
And the logic, common sense of how and why came into place. Why do we do this and how does it work? Well, it doesn't, so stop doing it.
Okay.
But the degeneration of a joint, you can't fix it. That's the thing that you can make the muscle stronger, and that's all I've done. That's like what's happened with my back. I have now if you punch me in the tummy any time, it's like it doesn't matter. That's like brushing my teeth. I'm all the time flexed because if I'm not, I have a sore back.
Right.
So I have really strong abdominal muscles, really strong lower back muscles, and every muscle in my body is strong to protect the joint.
To support the joint.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So you share that you can't get rid of that joint, you know, you can't get rid of it. No,
they're screwed up.
I don't know if this is the right question to ask, but if you were to, and it was, you were able to get rid of it, how would you feel?
Well, I have, because every muscle in my body's strong to protect the joint.
Of course. Yeah. So that's how you manage it.
Yeah.
Great. Awesome.
Exactly.
If you don't, for example, you don't have your core flexed most of the day, your back, you don't have strong muscles in your body,
mm-hmm.
How would you feel if you didn't have that support for the joints and you had to feel that pain every day?
Well, that's one of those limiting factors of my exercise. So I have a cross trainer and a treadmill because sometimes I can't run on the treadmill. I have to use the cross trainer.
Mm-hmm.
So that's if my back is really sore or my ankles are really sore or my knees are really sore, and I've had lots of surgeons that want to cut me apart. Like there's every orthopedic surgeon would love to give me back surgery and both knees, but I manage that really carefully. Mm.
And I guess that would you say that all comes together with the way you live your life, because you exercise every single day, that's just who you are. So there's no way that won't happen anyway, because you are who you are, and that's exercising, being strong every single day.
And it's, I don't know, I imagine, I don't know what pain is for you because it's different for all of us. Yeah, I don't know what you feel. Mm. But I imagine I've got a pretty high pain tolerance.
Yeah.
So do my injuries ever stop me from exercising? Never.
Mm-hmm.
I can't run every day, but I certainly exercise every single day because I can always do something to get puffed.
Yeah.
So if I've got knee injury, I box. If I've got elbow injuries, I run. The funniest one is I had this knee was totally, completely screwed up. And because I was limping everywhere, I tripped and I fell on this elbow. Luckily it was this elbow, so I could still cross train though, because I could push with this leg and push with this leg.
You had a video and you were a photo and your elbow was bleeding, you were laughing about it somewhere overseas. I think I've seen it.
So I could still cross train, so I used this leg and this arm. Yeah. So it was just, this was going on.
Great.
Always find a way.
So am I correct in saying then that you're obviously then on track to, you know, dealing with that injury?
Of course. Yeah. And I don't know what the future holds. I just take it day by day. But that's a real positive attitude thing as well. If you, you could downward spiral real quick, couldn't you? Oh, I'm so sore, I've got sore joints, versus, no, I'll just manage them in the best way possible.
Great. Great. Me as your trainer, anything you'd like me to do to help you?
It's a good question to ask before a training session. Where are we at today? And I won't ever whinge and complain, but there might be a day where I don't do something because I can't do it today.
Okay. All right. And any challenges in the past that's kind of held you back to handling those injuries?
Oh, there's been days I can't run because I have sore knees.
and
or a sore back or whatever, but no, we'll just find a way.
Okay.
And that's probably from a training point of view, I'm a good person to train because you have to become very inventive. So what do you do if somebody's got two sore knees? Well, you have to find something upper body for the person to do. If they've got two sore arms, you have to find something lower body.
Which you then like the box then instead.
Yeah, exactly. There's always a way. You can always do something.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Great. All right, let's go into the body, inside. So you've already shared you're feeling great. Healthy, feeling strong inside, feel good. Is there any issues you've got inside of the body?
No, there's a whole heap of stuff in my family, but I don't think that's genetic hereditary. I think that's poor lifestyle. Everyone on my mum's side of the family all died under the age of 50. Maybe 50. Well, my mother's nearly 100 and she's still going strong, so that's all a lifestyle thing. But I go by resting heart rate, blood sugar levels, cholesterol levels, and how I look and feel on a day-to-day basis, and that's all good.
And that's all good. Fantastic. Awesome. Let's talk a little bit about sports. You obviously like to run. You've shared that you love to run. Is there anything else that you like to do, activities or sports that you like to do?
The limit, and when I say limiting factor, I don't like to be limited by anything, but my limiting factor is my L4, L5. So I like to snow ski, love it, but I have to be really careful. So I have to go to a snow ski mountain where I can ski by myself.
Have you ever had any falls?
No, I can't afford to fall, that's the thing.
Have you ever fallen before?
Yeah, and I can't, it's not good. Yeah. So when you go to a really busy ski slope and there's the little kids that zip past you and they knock you over, can't do that. So I get asked all the time, did you do taekwondo? Well, I can't do taekwondo. I don't let anything limit me, but there's just, you know, can I do a team sport? I don't ever want to do team sport, but the answer is no, because there's too many variables. Everything I do has to be controllable. Right. So I love running on the road, but in New Zealand, because the drivers are fascinating here, I often have to jump into a ditch to get off the road. I can't do that anymore.
What do you mean by fascinating?
Well, sometimes they line you up. It's like they see you and they speed up and aim at you and you have to jump into the ditch. Well, I can't. There's too many challenges involved in that. So I'm much safer on the treadmill.
Awesome.
Or where was I? Last year we were in the Netherlands and there's bike paths everywhere. So I felt much safer running because I didn't have to run on the road.
That's great. And why do you like to run and ski? What is it? Why do you like to do that?
I like to experience. It's all about it. Well, you asked me about bungee jumping, remember, off the Sky Tower. Well, I can't. My life insurance will not allow my back to bungee jump.
Yeah, okay.
Something happens to me, no one's helping me out with that medical bill. Yeah.
Yeah?
So but I'm all for experiences. So if I analyse that situation and go, yes, I can do that, then I'll go do it. But if the answer's no, then I'm not. I'm a risk taker, but I'm not going to risk my health or my body because this is the only place I've got to live, so I'm not going to risk that.
But skiing and running, you know, why do you do it? Is it because it makes you feel a certain way?
No, I want to experience.
Just the experience.
And the running's the thing. If you've ever done this, doesn't matter which city or country, town or wherever you go in the world, you'll always see more if you go for a run than if you go on the bus.
Yeah.
You know, I don't catch the red bus with the lid off. I always run, because when you run through a city, you see so many more things that you would never ever see.
And would that
see.
Be a reason why you run marathon? One of the reasons as well?
Absolutely, yeah. Well, the Melbourne Marathon's my favourite, and you finish running through the MCG. Like, awesome. What an experience.
That's great.
For me, life is about creating wow moments.
The MCG, the stadium?
It's a big football stadium.
Oh, that's great. Do you finish there?
Yes.
Oh, awesome.
100,000 people can sit in that stadium. And when you finish the 42 point, the last 200 metres is around the
How
MCG.
Many people usually sits in there?
Not that many, but it doesn't matter. Like, because it's a stadium that's been there for a very long time, and some amazing things in sport have happened there.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's awesome.
That's so if it's please get that. It's all about, for me, creating every day is how many wow moments can I create today.
Wow. Yeah.
So it's all about the experience.
The experience. So you're like a marathon tourist as well.
Yes.
I love it.
Yes.
Awesome.
Doing well, JP.
Great. How do you feel when you run and ski? How do you feel?
It's called runner's high for a reason.
Runner's high. Yeah.
There's nothing like, I will exercise every day, and at the moment I'm on the cross trainer, but there's nothing like running.
Interesting question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Afterwards. Have you, like, you know that runner's high, do you ever feel like when you step off the treadmill and had a really good workout or got really buff, do you feel like your body's kind of like on the ground and you kind of like,
I'm looking at your face, you obviously know that experience.
What I'm asking you.
But don't take anything away from that. That's a chemical reaction in your brain. And people who take cocaine and heroin and prescription drugs or drink will tell you the same thing. It's that.
Yeah.
That's called high.
Yeah.
It's just got much better side effects than taking cocaine.
Yeah.
But it's the exact same chemical reaction.
Mm.
That's what's so exciting to me. And people spend so much money on drugs. And if they sprinted on the spot for 10 seconds, they could get the same dopamine rush. It's amazing.
That's awesome. If you can't run or ski, how would you feel?
I'm sure there's going to come a time, but I can see me in a wheelchair.
Do you believe there'll come a time or not?
Oh, look, I'm not. That's a negative statement, and I don't go there. Have there been times when I can't exercise? No, because I always find a way.
Mm.
I always find a way.
Awesome.
And if you watch what happens to people when they stop moving, it's horrible what happens to the human body when you stop it from moving. You take somebody as young as you, put you in a hospital bed for a week. What happens in 1 week, what happens to your body?
Yeah, muscle just wastes away.
And you know, the interesting, I've only just seen a research study on this, on young men at the age of 25, they made them live a lifestyle of an inactive person. Where they took the stairs, didn't take the stairs, they stood on the escalator, they parked close to the shops, they used all the labour-saving devices, and in 3 weeks they lost 5% of their muscle tissue.
Wow.
In 3 weeks.
That's crazy.
That's the equivalent, if you're an active person, of 10 years.
Yeah.
And they did that in 3 weeks. No wonder the world's screwed up and why it's weaker and sicker and fatter than it's ever been.
Mm.
We're meant to move around.
Yeah.
So you got to find a way.
That's awesome.
You've seen me. I don't have a chair at my desk. I don't sit down. Yeah, I stand
Does
up.
Does your body ever get sore from standing every day?
No, because the body's not designed to sit. It's
great.
Just this position we're in now. This is not good position because I'm now putting pressure through my L4, L5. But the reason the reason I can sit though is that I've got really tight abdominals.
Great.
And I haven't done sit-ups for the last 22 years.
Awesome.
So that's good.
And Rory, am I correct in saying that then you're on track you're on track with your sports and
JP, if there's anybody more on track on the planet, I don't know who they are.
Great. No, I'll take that as a definite yes.
I haven't met them, so no. And that's not, I'm not bragging or boasting, or that's just for me, that's a living, breathing fact. Because, and I will share with you very openly and honestly that I get accused every day of being unrealistically happy. Somebody somewhere on social media or somebody makes a comment. The trip that I do with the teenagers, there's always one teacher that says, oh, she's just unrealistically happy. That's ridiculous.
Mm.
Well, yeah, I am, because I've got happy drugs pumping through my brain.
Every day. Great.
Yeah.
Ask you one sec. I've got this. If you're your own running coach, skiing coach, any advice you give yourself today regarding
your I'll get you to rephrase skiing? That. Experience coach.
Experience coach, right.
Because from a living my life point of view, it's all now about experiences. So for instance, this trip we're going to Niagara Falls, I hadn't been there since I was 18. But I also remember that there's this amazing walk that you can do at Niagara Falls. Now, I've actually got a very dim memory of that because it was a long time ago when I was 18.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all about when we go to Niagara Falls, I want to do that walk. We're in Austria. I remember there was a huge castle on top of the hill and it was getting dark. And I said to Kayman, let's give it a crack. So it just, and it was up and up and up and up and up and up. And we got there and you could just see, like it was, to me, that's it. And here's a cool thing about that trip that you just reminded me. On the way down, we met a lady from Austria who does that every single Sparkle Day Sunday. And she was over 70 and she does it once a week.
How far is it?
I don't know. It took us probably an hour to get up there, I suppose. Whoa. So for me, it's all about if there's a mountain, let's go. There's a walking track, let's go. We were at the Three Sisters at Katoomba in Sydney, and then we saw this walking track. And so Kayman and I, we went. We didn't have any water. We didn't have any food. We just had our normal walking shoes on, not any kind of climbing shoes. And I think we came out of there about 4 hours later because we wanted to get the experience. It's all about the experience. So as an advice for, not for me, but for everybody, if you never want your body to be a limit to the experience that you could have.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't do that because.
And so when you get to the top there, what did it feel like when you guys got to the top?
It's awesome.
It's awesome.
So awesome. And we walked back in the dark. It's just amazing.
No flashlights?
No. No.
Sounds like an adventure.
Yeah. And that's the thing. And one of my favourite stories, and I'll just share it with you because you'll get this, JP. I was watching a TV interview. And a lady was at a funeral, and it was her husband's funeral. And the reason that it was being covered by the press was that her husband had died at a Formula One race, and Michael Schumacher's tyre had come off his car
mm-hmm.
and hit her husband in the head. He was a marshal at the race. And it was interesting because the reporter was kind of like, how come you're not sad? Your husband's dead. You're at your husband's funeral.
Yeah.
And she said, because my husband died doing what... She said, if there was any way for him to go to get hit in the head by Michael Schumacher's tyre, awesome.
<That's great>.
Versus die in a retirement village with tubes in your nose and in a wheelchair. Like, I have no interest in that.
Doesn't sound ideal, yeah.
So, Steve Irwin from Australia, he died with a stingray jabbing him in the ocean. Like, that's what he was passionate about. We're all going to die. It's how we live that's really important.
Mm-hmm.
So the advice form that I give myself every day is how can you live your life to the best wow experience possible and never let your body be a limitation for that.
Yeah, great.
That's so, awesome. Yeah, and my only limitation is if I do that, will I risk my ability to keep doing stuff in the future, which is my back challenge? So that's the only thing that's in my headspace.
Okay.
Is the advice is, okay, we're not gonna ski any faster than this because you could fall over, and if you fall over, then you might not be able to ski anymore.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Makes sense. Definitely makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything you'd like me to do to help you with your running and skiing?
I've told you what I need.
Yeah.
If I don't have a trainer for the multiple reasons that I've shared with you.
Okay.
And that, again, for me, that's a no-brainer. If I have a trainer that arrives on time, smells nice, clean-shaven, doesn't give me dodgy exercises and actually gives a shit,
mm-hmm.
it's awesome.
That's great. I'm very happy with that. Awesome. And I probably don't have to ask the last one because you've shared with me barriers or and things that's held you back in the past, and, mm-hmm. and I'd say that would that then be, you know, pain in the knees because of the running, you can't really do that, and then obviously you shed with your back, you probably wouldn't go any faster, ski any faster.
Doesn't mean I don't ski, it just means I ski carefully.
Yeah, carefully.
Yep.
That probably concludes the questions, I'd say.
Okay, so let's have a look at, you've covered all four questions brilliantly. A couple of times you had a brain fade,
mm-hmm.
and you can't have a brain fade. So yep. even if you can't remember what the next question is, you have to. You can't be going, because that doesn't look professional. Imagine if you're sitting with the lawyer and you've got a life and death legal case and the lawyer's going, oh, I wonder what I should ask next. The confidence part's the really important part.
Okay.
So even if you forget what the question is, you have to maintain your posture, your happy, smiley face, and ask something different. Go back to something you've already asked and go, oh, Roe, you told me that. Is there any other places in the world that you'd like to run until you get your headspace back in that place? Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely.
And there's two questions that you probably haven't asked me that you
was it the barriers one and the first two sets?
You missed a couple of barriers.
Yeah.
Do you know any of the other people in my life who are involved in my...
Yeah, is there anyone else in your life that I would need to speak to that would be supportive of your goals or unsupportive?
And that's really an important question.
And obviously, any... You know, your doctor or chiropractor or anyone that I would need to talk to before training.
Okay, so, and the challenge that you've got there is that because you don't know it, if I have a challenge, you wouldn't be able to talk to, and I have a chiropractor, but you wouldn't know who to talk to. And would it be a good idea to chat to my chiropractor? Probably, if you really wanted to help me.
Okay.
The other thing that you don't know is that I have a, and this is not a right or wrong, this is just from my experience, I would never go to a physio, for example, and I only ever go to the doctor if I have to. Like, I just don't go to the doctor.
Yeah.
But if you started talking physio or doctor to me, it could be a bit offensive.
Right.
But because you haven't asked the question, you don't know. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. So your medical support would come from a chiropractor and anyone else that supports you in your health? Just the chiropractor
and your husband.
Okay.
He's a bit of a hindrance sometimes though, because he loves me dearly and he'd like to say, well, maybe don't go skiing because you've got a sore back. And I go, no, I'm going to go anyway. Several times he said to me, do you really think you should run marathons? Like, you're limping to the start line. Do you really think you should run? Because he loves me dearly. But that's it. He's a bit of a hindrance. But I'm the same with him, because I go, do you really, with that sore foot of yours, do you really think you should be going to the World Championships? He goes, yes.
That's awesome.
So what foods don't I like to eat?
What foods don't you like to eat?
And that's a really important question.
Yeah.
And it's really good that it's covered here,
mm-hmm.
because if you're going to be helping people with their food, I'm not an example of that, but if you're going to be helping people with their food, you can't be making recommendations for food that they don't like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Okay.
You have to really know what they really love to eat, what they're passionate about. Remember, stick to the system of three. So what are your three favourite foods that you really love to eat versus three things that you never put in your mouth?
Okay. And what are they?
What don't like seafood in any way, shape or form.
Yeah.
I, however, love tuna on a sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
Just out of spring water in a tin. I love it. But, you know, if I never eat a fish or a shellfish or a mussel or a lobster in my life, and I don't like, it's funny though, because I'll have a meat pie at the football, but I'm not a fan of stuff that I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
Like, what's that sausage made of? What is that in there?
Yeah.
So it's got to be, I prefer a real food than something that's, I don't know what it is.
Right. So you like to know where your food comes from.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you as a vegan vegetarian is going to find this really interesting. I'm really not a fan of vegetables at all.
Yeah. Fine.
Now, I eat for performance.
Yeah.
So I know that it's important. But because I'm also aware of vitamins, minerals and phytochemicals and where they come from. And whether you get vitamin C from a tomato or an orange, your body doesn't care as long as you're getting vitamin C.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about... Sometimes I will choke down a bowl of vegetables.
Do you take any supplements, vitamin supplements at all?
No.
Okay.
because if it comes in a plastic pill, how can it possibly be working? That's just my opinion.
Great. Are we still recording?
Yeah, of course. Oh. So you want to tick those off, okay, in your headspace, because if you don't know the answer, there'll come a time when you really do need to know the answer and you'll go, oh, I didn't ask that question. But you can always go back to that. You've been training somebody for 6 weeks. You can say, oh, I meant to ask you in our initial consultation, are there any foods that you don't like to eat? Because before you give advice about anything, you have to know the answers to those questions.
Okay. So I've missed a couple of barriers. Asking if there's anyone I should talk to regarding your training, for example, your chiropractor and your husband.
Mm-hmm.
And then also what foods you like, three favourite foods and three foods you don't like to eat.
Don't like to eat.
Okay.
And you asked the question about how can I give you twice as much value for your session. Mm-hmm. Did ask that.
Yeah.
Probably a bit early. It's a really good question to put in before you do a price presentation.
At the very end.
So after we've wrapped all of this up, and you paraphrased really well, that was something you did exceptionally well, which I've never had anybody do so well before, which is paraphrase back after each question. The overall at the end is a really important. So Rory, what you're sharing with me is the number one goal really is to be healthy, fit and strong forever. So for me to make sure that happens, I want to make sure that you get twice as much value for every session. What would I really need to do so that whatever dollars you invested in me, you'd feel like you're getting twice as much value?
Okay, great. So at the end, paraphrase overall of everything we've covered and then present that question.
And what if you paraphrase back that whole conversation, what will that be telling your client?
That you listen to everything that they told you. I can do it. You want me to do it? So your goal is every day to be healthy, fit and strong, and to maintain that for your whole life.
Mm-hmm.
And your long-term goal would be the goal after that would be to go and run the hills in Beverly Hills and the Las Vegas Strip.
Mm-hmm.
And the reasons why you do it is because of your dad's Alzheimer's.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want it, and you believe you don't get it if you exercise every day. It's just not possible.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And you believe that, and that's great. And I believe it too.
Yeah.
And then the other reason is you look at elderly people that's healthy, fit and strong, and that inspires and motivates you and gives you reason to keep going. You like to run and on treadmills and on the cross trainer because don't like running outside on the roads because there's drivers that could get you off the road. You run marathon every single year, and you do that because you want to grow mentally and you want to believe that you should be in an uncomfortable situation every single year, and that help you grow mentally. You exercise every single day since you were 10 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just a part of who you are because that's your non-negotiables, and you just believe that, and that's great. And if you can't exercise, you find a way. For example, if you can't run better than your knees, you'll box.
Yeah.
If you can't treadmill, you'll cross train or whatever you feel like. Nutrition, you eat for the geographically, so you like to eat certain things in a certain place. For example, the meat pie at the race.
Football.
Mm-hmm. The football. Good. At the football. You like it, but although the only challenge is sometimes you don't like, if you look at something, you want to know where it comes from.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, I don't really want to know. If I eat the football, I don't want to know where it came from.
You also like the chicken with the spaghetti on top.
Yeah.
And you like to go to the cheese cake factory.
Yeah.
Eat the cheesecake. And so you listen to your body and you only eat what your body tells you to eat. And you believe and you are very successful at knowing what your body wants.
Mm-hmm.
And you only eat when you feel like it, and if you don't eat, it's either because you're busy or when you don't think about eating. If you are hungry, you will eat.
Fancy that. Doesn't that sound like common sense to you?
Yeah, it does. Great. You hate seafood. You don't eat seafood, but you like tuna on a sandwich.
Yeah.
You like sweet things? You didn't tell me this, but I'd say you'd like sweet things.
That should you assume foods? That?
No.
So what was it? You asked me the question, what do you... what was the question you asked me originally?
I think I asked, what do you eat? That's just what I asked.
And my answer was that I eat what I want when I want.
Yeah.
So if I feel like lollies, I eat lollies.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't feel like lollies, I'm not thinking, oh, I wish I could have a lolly, because I don't... There's never a can't have, mustn't have, don't have, shouldn't have.
Yeah. Okay, so I won't assume that, but you told me you eat. Mm-hmm. You eat
and that's
an like
important thing to remember with your clients. If you see somebody eating what's an example? I'll give you one. If you see somebody eating a meat pie at the football, then you assume that they like meat pies. Well, just recently I went to the football with a group of people, and there's a guy there. It's really interesting. He's a paleo, in my headspace, he's preached paleo. Paleo at me, like really preached it, blah, 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 like an evangelist.
Oh, wow.
And when we went to the footy, had a meat pie.
Yeah.
Now, if I saw him at the footy before I heard about his evangelism for paleo, I would have thought that he liked meat pies. Now, what I found out, not by asking him why you're eating that, but just by general questioning, was that he's also got this thing about if all the boys are doing it, then he'll do it too.
Yeah.
So he had a beer and a pie. Even though that's never part of his eating plan,
yeah,
but it was part of his social acceptance.
Yeah,
yeah. So she says she'd never assume.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah,
so that's the challenge of what most fitness people do that aren't professionals. They just assume if somebody's fat, they need to lose weight.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody's skinny, they need to put on muscle size.
Yeah.
That's not always the case. And that's why you've got to ask all of these questions so that you find out.
Okay. Great.
Mm-hmm. And if you don't know, like you said to me, I assume that you like lollies.
Yeah.
If you don't know, then you ask Rowie, do you like lollies?
Okay.
Right. So ask it as a direct question rather than, oh, I presume that you like lollies,
mm-hmm.
which is this kind of a question, but it's not really.
Okay.
Yeah?
All right. Great. And then you also shared that the way you eat is definitely keeping you on track to achieving your goals, and you do perform at your top level. You love what you see in the mirror, have that same pants since you were 15.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you still have them, and you know if you can't fit into them, you should probably eat a little bit less. A
bit chubby.
I can relate to that.
If your pants don't fit, you're a bit chubby.
Yeah.
You don't need a body fat percentage to tell you that.
and you share that's obviously providing you results. And then talking about injuries, you said that all your joints in your body is damaged, and that's just from doing stupid exercises all your life. And it's not really a certain time in your life where you found out that all your joints are muffed up. It's kind of just something you realized over the years, and you haven't been doing sit-ups for 22 years, which is fantastic. And you used to do, what did you say, 1,000 a day?
Absolutely. And then with the twist. Can you imagine that in your bones? So you squish the vertebrae and then you twist it and then you come back down again.
Oh.
Just a stupid thing to do.
Yeah.
And if you only do 10 or 20, it probably will never affect you because the weight's not heavy enough.
Yeah.
But when you start doing 1,000...
Did you use weight as well when you did 1,000?
Oh, of course. And medicine balls and on a decline bench and all that shit.
Jeez. And then that's obviously damaged your L4 and L5, which is you shared.
Yeah, but I've got every vertebral disc space is challenged in some way, shape, or form.
Okay. And you did share, if you look at the x-ray, you'll probably say there's no incredible disc there. Yeah.
Oh, it isn't.
It
looks like the bones have been fused.
And the way you handle that is by keeping your body healthy and strong, and by keeping all your muscles strong, you'll keep your core tight. Anytime
you
punch
your stomach.
You
could punch me anytime, JP.
The reason you're sitting there not feeling pain is because your core's tight.
That's correct.
And you rather prefer to stand.
Yes.
So you keep your core and your back muscles strong.
Yeah.
And if they're weak, you'll probably feel a bit more pain in those joints.
No, you got it. You've done really well. So my only feed forward, in fact, this is the best set of W questions I've ever been asked. And if you were to now go and train me, you would get through your PT evaluation.
Wow.
Yeah. The only thing that you probably, and here's the feed forward. If you don't know the answer, If you don't know the question, don't look up in the air and think what comes next.
Okay. Yeah.
It's like the example I use for that is singers. If they forget the lyric, they hum and they keep dancing, but they don't go, oh, fuck, I forgot my lyrics. Yeah. So if you don't remember what the question is because you've had a brain fade, which, by the way, today is a reasonably stressful situation because it's me.
Yeah.
So you've done exceptionally well.
Thank
really,
you.
Really good. Now, if we went to train now, though, how would you know what words to use to motivate me versus not motivate me while I'm training?
Probably say you hate the word average. So if you struggle to get that number 9 or 10 rip out, I'd say... what would an average person want to do?
But there's three power words for positive and there's three power words for negative.
Okay.
What are they? You didn't ask.
I didn't ask. Yeah, okay.
With me, it's a bit tricky because you said, how will you feel if you do?
Okay.
And I said, of course I'm going to do it. And how will you feel if you don't? Well, it's not an option.
Right.
I'm going to do whatever it takes.
Mm-hmm.
But now when we actually go and train, you have to have words to use to be able to, and you have to know which is more important. Are you more motivated by pleasure words or you're more motivated by pain words?
Yeah, okay, I'm not going to assume because you told me average.
Yeah.
So would average be, would pain, three pain words be your motivator, your motivating words? Or would it be
If I'm running, like if I feel like stopping when I'm in the marathon, I absolutely say that to myself. What would an average person do right now?
Okay.
What would a loser do right now?
Right.
What would a pathetic loser do right now? Okay, Moon's the opposite because he says, what would a world champion do right now?
Right,
which is exactly the opposite,
okay.
Yes? But that's in my headspace all the time,
mm-hmm.
if I think about giving up. Because I'm surrounded by lots and lots of people who talk about what they're going to do and they don't do it. They give up.
Yeah.
And I keep that in my headspace. I think about the last like 10 people in my life who've said, oh, I'm going to open a PT studio or I'm going to become a top level fitness professional. They've given up because they've had a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually think about that person. I go, what would that person do right now?
Yeah.
Like they'd give up.
Yeah.
And then I run faster. And you can actually, if you watch me run marathon, you'd actually watch that in my headspace. You'd go, oh, she's thinking about being average right now, and you can see me spurt.
Mm-hmm. So what are those three words? So average is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Loser.
Loser.
And the third one?
In my headspace, if I'm thinking about, like if I've said I'm going to do 11, for example, because I hate... And you don't know this about me either. I hate even numbers. Everything's
okay.
Got to be uneven numbers for me.
Okay.
So I'm not interested in if I aim to do 11, you get me to do 13. That's fantastic.
Right.
But I'm really not interested in doing 12.
Yeah.
If I have to stop on 12, I'll still put another one because I hate even numbers. And I also count backwards.
Okay.
So for me, when I'm running marathon, it's not I've done 27 kilometres. Or I've done 30 kilometres, I've got 12.2 to go. I've got 3 to go. So it's coming backwards.
Mm.
So when I'm training, if I'm counting, and you don't have to count because I'll count for myself,
mm-hmm.
you still have to count that because you have to get me to do a couple more.
Yeah.
But as I'm counting backwards, I'm thinking to myself, you want, and this is a positive though, you will do this. You will do this. You will absolutely do this. And so that's it. That's it. The opposite between average and loser versus yes, you will do this. So it's a kind of three ways to do it.
Great. Is there anything else I miss?
So there's a couple of things that are really important to ask at some stage. Is do you like to count backwards or forwards?
Okay.
Because K-Man counts forwards.
Right.
So if you train him. He does 1, then 2, then 3, then 4. I don't know. Okay, we're aiming for 11 and we count backwards.
So you go down only odd numbers, then like even numbers?
No, that's you just count down 11 to 0.
Okay.
And so with the boxing routine, for instance, so it's you do 10, 10, 10.
Okay.
I'm happy to do 10, but I want to count down 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Okay.
And if you, Rowie, what's your personal best for chin-ups? So, okay, it's 11. So once I get to 11, to 0, so I've gone 11 to 0, then it's how many more can I do after 0?
Okay.
So then it's an up count then after that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. So you'd then say the uneven number would probably then be your personal best.
It's always an uneven number.
Always an uneven number. But you don't mind counting down from 10 to 1?
No.
That's fine. Okay. Any reason why?
Just a weird thing. Don't you have a weird thing like that going on?
That's
yours.
Probably as well. Like when I did the half marathon, I counted down the distance. I was like 3 to go, 2 to go, When I did Around the Base earlier the year, it was exactly the same thing. I like the countdown instead of up. Yeah.
Because it's getting less and less rather than more and more.
You've got time to go, not 10 to go. You haven't done 10, but you've got 2 to go or something like that. But yeah.
Do you know who Oprah Winfrey is?
Yeah.
She ran marathon. She was 190 pounds, which is pretty heavy.
Mm.
And she ran marathon. But the advice given to her was if you... When the gun goes off, you go, and then you don't stop till you finish.
Mm.
And in her headspace, it was, I've already come 20 miles. Why would I stop? Because that's usually the in the old barrier, or 30 to 35 kilometres, people stop. Well, if you've already come 35 kilometres, why would you stop? You've only got 7.5 to go. Why are you going to stop now?
Why stop now?
You've come this long. But if you're thinking to yourself, oh, I've run 35 kilometres versus I've only got 7.5 to go, it's a different headspace.
It's like that joke when people ask people, oh, you swim to the island, you get halfway and what would you do? You know, you get tired, would you turn back and swim back, or would you get to go?
Exactly. It's the same. It's the same. But one gets you somewhere and one gets you nowhere. Yeah, exactly. So the overall is absolutely a